Okay, let's set those to the side. We're talking about the response of love tonight. Yes, we went from weeks and weeks of anger to now we're going to talk about love, but they're connected. Okay, this is how we respond to anger, bitterness, frustration, irritation, all those different forms. Responding with love. God's love is amazing, isn't it? The one verse that I think summarizes it and that I still cannot wrap my mind around is Romans 5:8. But God commended his love toward us in that while I was a wicked, vile, rebellious, wanting nothing to do with God, sinner, Jesus died for me. That is so amazing. We sing, don't we, about amazing grace. We just sang about amazing love. And that's because his love is amazing. But what is it? What is his love? What is it like? And we've spent the last several weeks talking about a faith in God and how it fits into this issue of anger and how it can become part of our response patterns in replace of our normal emotional-based patterns of anger and bitterness. So first, let's consider, we're just going to jump right into it. Number one, whom we are to love. Do you love your spouse? Some of you had to think about that one, okay? No, you were busy writing, I'm sure. Do you love your children? Depends on what day it is, right? What mood they're in. Do you love your pets? Depends, okay. Do you love donuts? Yes. Do you love broccoli? No. See, we say we love all different kinds of things, don't we? But what is it? Whom we are to love. Any guesses who we are to love? One another. Yep. What else? God. Enemies. Everyone. Yes. Who's everyone? Why did I ask who is everyone? Why do you think I asked that? That's true. But isn't everyone everyone? So why would everyone for one person might not be everyone for another person? Because we say the answer. We're supposed to love everyone. But who's everyone? And I ask that because I think sometimes in our minds, everyone, even for us, doesn't mean everyone. Okay? All right. So, the answer, everyone, that's the answer we've grown up with if we grew up in a Christian home or have been saved for any amount of time. And that's a good general answer. But we miss something in that answer. We miss some of the exact people that we are instructed to love. The people that Jesus says, he didn't just say, love everybody. Jesus says, you love them. And you love them specifically. So Christ was specific, and that makes some of his instructions very difficult because he had to go and get specific on us. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. It says, ye have heard that it hath been said, Jesus speaking here, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Our enemies, he said. Well, who are these people? Who are these people that Jesus is referring to when he says our enemies? These are people whom our natural response would be anger toward. So I'm not talking about the drunk driver that killed my parents. Although that could be considered an enemy, okay? When Jesus says, love your enemies, okay? That would be people whom my emotional-based response of anger is shown to. Now, how do I want to do this? What I have come to learn over the years is that we treat those closest to us worse, don't we? They see our bad side, is another way of saying that. We flip that around. It doesn't sound as good, but we treat them worse than the guy down the street sometimes. Okay? Why do we do that? Right at that moment, our emotionally based response of anger is being poured out on them. And God says you're supposed to love your enemy because they are an enemy right at that moment. You are treating them like an enemy. These enemies, these people are the ones that get our lashing out, our angry words, our angry actions, our sarcasm, our subtle innuendos, our judgments, our holding of grudges. Any of these people in your lives? So let's label them as Christ labels them. Enemies. Now, you're going to see why all of those different variations that I just stated are included in that generic term, enemies. These are the ones that Jesus is talking to us about. These are the ones that Jesus says to love. But let's look at how specific Jesus gets with this group, enemies. He goes a little bit deeper. Number one, your enemies themselves, okay? Those who work against you and oppose you. He mentions different groups of enemies in here as a general term. The enemies itself, those who work against you and oppose you. Now, this can be openly or behind your back. These are people that are in our daily lives treating us unkindly. People that say or do things that makes me mad. You ever felt that way? Okay. Causes me to be irritated. Causes me to become defensive when I'm interacting with them. These are the ones that Jesus says we need to treat as a friend, that we should love them. Now, who are the most common members of this category right here? Who do you think? Any suggestions? Okay, possibly. They could be saved or unsaved. Yep. So we're talking about people that treat us unkindly, say things that make us mad, cause me to be irritated, and cause me to become defensive. Could be an unsaved person. Who else? Family. Okay. Could be an unsaved person in our family. Right. But saved people do that too, don't they? Family. Okay. There's one common member of this group. Can you think of any others? Co-workers, yep, that's the second one I was thinking of. And look around you. Church members. Do they ever make you mad? Did you pastor? Never mind. Where did that come from? Wow. Because I already know the answer to that. Yeah. In other words, those that are closest to us are enemies. The trenches are dug and interaction with them causes emotional bristles to raise. Now, it's not everyone in your family, and it's certainly not all of the time. It could be someone in your family, and they just get your hackles up. There's a word I've never used before, hackles. Okay, let's go on to the second group that Jesus points out. Them that curse you. Now, it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with cussing someone out, okay, and calling someone a bunch of four-letter words. This is those whose words are hurtful. This includes, now remember, we're identifying who Jesus says we're supposed to love. He's a big group called enemies. Those whose words are hurtful. That includes name-calling, okay, sarcasm, criticism, insults, accusations, condemnation, belittling. They use words to hurt. And words do hurt, don't they? Some of the strongest, severest pains that I have ever felt, I wished someone would just hit me with their fist. It would feel better. Because words can be so painful. They make us miserable. And they hinder us in what we're doing, too. They can be so debilitating. These are the ones that Jesus says we need to love. And the verse that just came to my mind, Romans 5:8. Jesus did it to me. Because I was that person to Jesus. And get this, don't tell anyone, I still am that person. Let's look at number three, the third group, them that hate you. Well, this one is a little bit stronger word. Those filled with contempt, unforgiveness, disdain, dislike. Those filled with contempt, unforgiveness, disdain, dislike. Different group of people within enemies here. You know, hatred is not someone that hates us. It's not just, I hate you, being screamed at a parent by a spoiled, upset child. You maybe have seen that before. Hatred is an attitude. It's not screaming. It's not the words, I hate you. It's an attitude. Now, what does this look like? What does hatred look like? You can read it in facial expressions, can't you? Someone who has contempt. What were those words? Contempt, disdain, dislike. You read it in facial expressions, body language, eyes glaring at you. Now, let me make an exception here for the mamas in this room. Giving your child the look, that doesn't count, okay? All right? That is communicating a message, and it's not one of, I hate you, or I have contempt for you. It is, wait till you get home. Okay? Whatever form it takes, it again causes us great emotional pain. These are the ones that Jesus says we need to love. So much easier just to love my dog, right? Because they never do the things to me that people can do to us. Jesus said, you know, Jesus never said love your pets. He had to command us to love this group of people because it's not natural. Number four, them which despitefully use you. That is those who find pleasure in causing you pain or difficulty. They find pleasure in causing you pain and difficulty. Now, so far, Jesus has focused on those whose words and attitudes are against us. Okay. With this one, he focuses on actions, not words and attitudes. You know, some people find delight. They get a giggle over causing others distress. They can be the pot stirrers. They know which buttons to push, and then they just stand back and watch the show begin. That's a shame that some people are like that. I'm jumping ahead here. They find delight in causing problems for others, making others miserable. These are the people that Jesus says we need to love. Now, just a point of clarification here, because you'll notice at the end of our Matthew passage there, it talks about people that persecute us. Okay? And that certainly tied in with this last one. Jesus used that word persecuted. Now, we have to be careful. Okay? Remember one of the symptoms of being in bondage to bitterness and anger? Do you remember what one of them was? Once a person is in bondage, they become a martyr. Everyone's picking on them, okay? So we have to be careful, because it's very easy for us, an injured person, to wave the self-pity banner of, I'm being persecuted, okay? The context of this word is, in this passage, is being persecuted for living righteously. Okay? We've done nothing wrong, and we're being persecuted for the fact that we're living righteously. Not all mistreatment is persecution. Okay? So, spouses, don't go home and say, ha, I learned this tonight, you're persecuting me. I am tired of you persecuting me. Okay? No. Because not all mistreatment is persecution. Sometimes it happens just because we happen to be in the way. You know? You just crossed paths with someone at work, at church, at home, at the wrong time. They're in a mood, okay? And you didn't realize it. And you tried to be funny. Boom! You got it. I've never gotten that. I just need to clarify that right now. But you understand what I mean, right? Just in the wrong place at the wrong time. Doesn't mean we're being persecuted. We maybe caught someone in a bad mood. They were tired. They were stressed. They had a bad day. Their dog just died. They just got bad news. I mean, think about this. We never know what's going on in somebody else's life. You never do. Have you heard this phrase before? Hurt people, hurt people. Hurt people, that's me, I'm hurt. What do hurt people do? They hurt people. Go pet a dog that has just been injured. They might bite you. That's what hurt people do sometimes. I can't believe the way they treated me. They're persecuting me. No. We don't know what's going on in other people's lives. So we have to be careful of our expectation of how they should be treating us. And we'll say more about that later, probably next week. Sometimes it happens we get mistreated because, I know for some of you it's impossible, but sometimes we get mistreated because we did something wrong. Yeah. Sometimes that's the case. If we, something I do, brings on the hatred, we'll use the word that Jesus used in the passage, If something I do brings on the hatred of others because of something on our part or my part, what should we do? I did something wrong. I brought on the hatred of someone else. What should I do or we do if it's you? Stop. Go. Pray. And then obey. Humble ourselves after we stop and we go. Now I'm praying. I'm humbling myself. I'm praying Psalms. Search me, oh God. Examine me. So I'm humbling myself, examining myself, humbling myself so that I can then obey, which would look like this. Repent and seek forgiveness. Okay? But I didn't mean it the way they took it. Has that ever happened to you? You seriously were just joking, trying to be funny. And they took it the wrong way. What's the matter with them? Woo. I need to go back and pray and humble myself some more. It doesn't matter how we meant it. Here's where we take on the mind of Christ. And ask, are we above reproach? In this way. Did I cause them to stumble? Did I stir anger in their heart? What part did I play in that? Are we humble enough to do that? Okay. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20, it says, for what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently. But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. And it's giving a comparison there. Yes, whoever sits in that seat is always going to be the source of my illustrations. Okay, Joe, sorry, that's you. All right. He's never sitting there again. I was the recipient of Joe's anger. And yeah, I did back into his new van. Okay. Yes. And he is just letting me have it. And I'm so godly and righteous. I just take it. Yeah, that's what the first part says. But if when you do well, he's letting me have it for backing into his van and I didn't do it. Well, I would be justified, wouldn't I? Giving it back to him. You jump to conclusions, your judgmental attitude, you didn't have all the facts. Proverbs says you're a fool right now because you didn't bother to ask questions, get both sides of the matter. And you weren't slow to speak. You were quick to speak and you didn't listen. You didn't even ask any questions. Man, I could preach a sermon at him right then. But this verse says, take it patiently. That's acceptable to God. Here's how another version says that verse. For what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, ye endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. Let's talk about attitudes here. Yes, we've got time. You pick your kids up at 8:30 tonight. Attitudes, all right? Attitudes. What attitudes did Jesus face? He faced a lot of attitudes, didn't he? Now, here's where we're just going to kind of shift gears a little bit. And I want you to help me answer these questions here. The first passage is going to be Luke chapter 4, verse 28 and 31. I have several different passages we'll look at. I'll go ahead and read them because of time. But you be looking for the attitude that Jesus faced, okay? And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up, thrust him out of the city, led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way, came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. What was the attitude that Jesus faced there? Wrath, anger, okay? However you want to word that. I put the easy one first, okay? All right, now, let's take a second passage here. John 6, 41 through 42. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? What's the attitude? Judgmental. They didn't believe him. Okay. What else? Murmured. What's another word for murmured? Grumbling, complaining. Okay. And I think there's even a little bit of, and I only have one blank there for you, but you can write these in. There might even be a little bit of condescending. Okay. But this is that poor carpenter kid. Really? I can almost see and feel them looking down their nose at Jesus. Let's do another one. John 8, verse 1 through 6. And Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. Okay, you know, I kind of picked out a couple of different attitudes there. Let me hear what you think. What attitudes did you pick up on that Jesus was facing? Self-righteous, yes, absolutely. And? Judgmental, and what did you say? Yeah, tempting him, okay, they're trying to trap him. Entrapment would be another one. So self-righteous, judgment, entrapment could be another one that you could add there. John 11, verse 47, then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him. And the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for the nation. And not for that nation only, but also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Then from that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death. Now, what's going on there? I'll narrow it down. That last verse. Look at that. They what? A conspiracy. Yeah, they're scheming against him. One of our four things that Jesus identified in our opening passage dealt with this. Okay. So here they are scheming against him. Last one, Luke 22. And the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. When they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, prophesy, who is it that smote thee? And many other things. Blasphemously spoke they against him. Attitudes. Mocking. Yes. What's another word for mocking? Well, I guess you can go different directions to it. The one that I came up with was sarcasm. Yeah, you're the king. Come on, show us. And slander is another one. That word blasphemy, blasphemously. They weren't like taking God's name in vain. The idea behind that word is they were slandering him. And I guess there is one more. Luke 23. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he, Herod, questioned with him in many words, but Jesus answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and set him again to Pilate. Now, here it is. They're treating him with disrespect and ridicule. So these are some of the attitudes that Jesus faced. Let me pull all the scripture out and just give you those attitudes. Anger, grumbling, complaining, self-righteous, judgment, entrapment, scheming, sarcasm, slander, disrespect, ridicule. Jesus is facing all of these attitudes. Which of those have you experienced before coming at you? Okay. Which of these have you had toward others? Okay. Jesus said, these are the ones that we need to love. Next week, we'll go deeper and see how we are to love them. Okay. So I hope I'll see you back next Wednesday. Let's go ahead and have some prayer time.